Nobody does it better than her.
Nobody does it better. Hertz leads the others by far. Nobody does it best before you. Hertz, the superstar.
Nobody has more of what it takes to rid you of Fairmont, Mustang, LTD, or other fine car faster.
Hertz, the superstar.
There you go, O.J. Simpson for Hertz. 720 WGN. I'm John Landecker. It's 10 minutes after 9 o'clock. Thanks for joining us. Herb, the consumer man, Weissbaum, is on with us on the phone. He's the consumer reporter for KOMO and also checkbook.org. And thanks for joining us tonight. I'm going to set this up with an article I've been carrying around that was from the Los Angeles Times. And the headline was, Taking a Trip? Thanks to COVID-19, your vehicle might cost you more than your airfare. You can fly from Burbank to Bozeman, Montana, for $38 round trip, thanks to the startup airline. If you decide to rent a car for a week, it's $2,028. And that's what I want to talk about, at least to start out.
Okay.
What's going on?
You should have my article in your pocket, John. Rental car woes, sky high prices if cars are even available.
Exactly. I mean,
yes. What's happening is it's supply versus demand. There's a great demand, much bigger than anybody expected as we rebound from the pandemic, and the supply simply isn't there. You remember the rental car business dropped over 90% during the pandemic, and these companies had to do everything and anything they could do to get cash to stay afloat. Hertz filed bankruptcy during the pandemic. So they sold off the fleets. They turned the cars that were sitting in the lots into cash to try to keep themselves alive. And then when the demand comes back, number one, you can't replace the vehicles that quickly. And number two, we're now facing a microchip shortage, a global shortage of microchips that go into cars. So the car manufacturers can't make the cars they want fast enough. So, again, there's just a complete lack of supply for people who want these vehicles. I did it when I did my story. So this was back in April, but in late March, at the height of spring break, in Hawaii, Honolulu, there were actually cars going for $750 a day.
A
convertible was going for $1,000 a day. And what people are doing there now is they are now starting to rent U-Haul trucks because they're cheaper. American ingenuity, right? But
it's unbelievable.
It is absolutely unbelievable. My situation, I'm going to Hawaii in December, and I wanted to rent a car. So 2 weeks would have normally cost me maybe $600, maybe, if I got a good deal for the rental car. Now I'm talking $1,000, and that's the best price I could get. I mean, some of the vehicles, and that's a low end, that's the smaller car, et cetera, for $1,000 for, I'm taking an Uber back and forth to the airport and the shuttle bus from the hotel. And I'll put all that money to my meals. I mean, that's just crazy time right now. I mean, seriously.
Exactly. Crazy. No, I couldn't agree with you more. I mean,
so
I felt it was like a story that no one was talking about. The airline industry is all excited. People are flying again, and there are great ticket prices and deals, and, well, boy, it's coming back, and plan your vacation. Oh, yeah? Where do you land to try to get a rental car? Have you heard about this?
If you can get one. I mean, there have been people showing up at lots, even with reservations, that the car is just not there. If somebody doesn't return it in time, there's not a vehicle. If people, first of all, ask yourself, do you need a rental car? There may be a lot of situations where you get around without one, like, my situation in Hawaii, 99% of the time it sits in the parking lot. So I'm going to figure out other ways to get around. But if you absolutely have to, do a lot of shopping. There's a website that I put in my story called Auto Slash, and it's the only one of its kind that helps apply automatically the coupons and the deals and everything like that. They actually beat the Costco rental car price for me when I was shopping around. So it's something you might want to check. Use any trick you have. If you have miles, if you have membership if you're a member of the rental car company program, set up alerts. Prices may go down, but you might want to have a plan B. If you're going to rent one where you don't have to give them your credit card and you don't have to put anything down, which many of these are now, or if you do, know what the window is. Like if you cancel within 48 hours, you don't have to pay any money. But it's a very, and the other thing is a lot of people don't know this. You know all the brands you see on the airport lot? There's only three parent companies. All the vehicles are owned by three companies, and there's no real demand for competition if there's only three companies that own all the rental car companies.
Wait a minute. So, you're telling me that some three companies, Hertz, Dollar, Thrifty, Avis, I can't even think of the other ones, Budget, Payless, there's three companies that run all of those businesses?
Three companies. You know, I wrote this article so long ago, I can't remember, but the three I know, one is Budget and one is Hertz, and I'll try to figure out what the third one is in the commercial aid. But yes, they own almost everything. Yes, that is absolutely correct. They bought up all the other guys. So you still have the brand names. You know, right. You remember the old days with that commercial was We're Beatrice, and that company owned everything in the world with a different name? Well, that's how the rental car that's how the rental car companies are.
So. We're going to do more about not just rental car companies, but you'll find out. Because there's a consumer issue that has been a burr in my saddle, so to speak, which I'm finally pleased to see someone has taken note and is doing something about it. And we'll talk about that when we come back on 720 WGN.
Avis has asked me, SDP's Andy Granatelli, to help write out a checkout manual for their mechanics. This manual guides Avis's mechanics to check out a car like I would. So, if there's an Avis car with a faulty fan belt in Los Angeles, it will be replaced like I would replace it. When an Avis car has a bumper-to-bumper check in Detroit, I will be there to check it. What does it mean to you? It means the Plymouth you rent from Avis will be one of the smoothest, best-running cars you can rent today.
Oh, yeah, those Plymouths, boy. That was a great rental car. 720 WGN, I'm John Landecker. We played an old Hertz commercial with O.J. Simpson and thought, well, before I found out that there's only three companies that own everything, there's a little bit of Andy Granatelli in an Avis TV commercial from way back in the day. And we're on the topic of rental cars right now. We're going to move to some other stuff, but I want to stay here for a minute with Herb Weisbaum, the consumer man who is a consumer reporter for KOMO and checkbook.org. And I was listening to that Andy Granatelli Avis commercial, and he mentions Los Angeles. And right. I was there maybe 2.5-3 years ago, taking some classes, and I must have been there at least 7 or 8 weeks. And my rental car, I remember it being somewhere for the whole thing about $725 for all of that. And now, I mean, you were talking about Hawaii, Los Angeles, you do need a car. I mean, if you're going to go, at least in my opinion, if you're going to go out there at all for anything in Southern California, they don't have the kind of infrastructure for mass transit like we have in Chicago. I mean, it's something else. And I just cannot
believe. Remember my tip, think about those U-Haul trucks.
Yeah. I'm not too proud. I'll go get a U-Haul truck. I'll live in it. I'll come back on my hotel.
I got the answer for you, by the way. He was talking about Plymouth. You know, my first car I ever had was a Plymouth Plymouth. Did you know they actually made a vehicle called a Plymouth Plymouth? They ran out of names. It was a Plymouth Plymouth, and it had push buttons on the dashboard.
Oh,
do you remember that?
I remember push buttons on the dashboard, but I don't remember Plymouth Plymouth.
1964 Plymouth Plymouth.
Yeah, my parents had a Dodge Dart.
Okay.
if I remember correctly, that had push button automatic.
So I found the three companies for you. So Enterprise owns Enterprise and National and Alamo, and Avis owns Budget, Payless, and Zipcar, and Hertz owns Hertz, Dollar, and Thrifty. So that's 95% of the domestic rental car market is owned by three big companies.
Well, that's like a monopoly almost. I mean, they've got it in a vice grip.
It's not a monopoly, but it's certainly a limited competition marketplace, and they market each one different. You know, they put these this and Hertz is up for the upscale and everything. But yeah, it's a very limited, you know, very limited competition between the three. Even though it looks like there's all this competition when you get to the airport. Yeah.
Well, anyway. I'll tell you. Maybe I shouldn't make this analogy, but I'm going to go for it anyway because it's the one I know. Consolidation of radio stations by major ownership has led to the same kind of thing you're talking about with these rental cars, in that two or three companies own I don't know what percentage of it, but a large amount of the radio stations in the United States. So stations that used to be individually operated and competitors against one another are now, in some cases, in the same group, out of the same building, with the same management. Whereas years ago, each one had its own individual business. Now, it's just part of this bigger picture with fewer people. So I don't know where the used car industry is headed, but thankfully WGN is not a part of that. I mean, we're a standalone, and that's really a fantastic thing because I don't think many people realize how many of the different stations that they may tune into are all owned by the same company. And that doesn't work as far as I'm concerned. At least it doesn't work for the consumer. I mean, it might work for the stockholder, but it doesn't work for the consumer. I used to live not in the total rural area, but as it turned out, this great house I bought that was on 10 acres in Indiana near Michigan City was not, when I bought it, and I believe still, did not have high-speed internet available. And this used to drive me nuts. I mean, how can I be on the air? How can I do anything? How can I conduct business? How can I just everything under the sun unless I get this high-speed internet? And if you don't have it, then you're not even playing on the same field. It's not a level playing field. But I understand now that the FCC is going to offer some subsidies to help rural families connect.
It's not rural families. It's families that need help. Yes, I just wrote this story, and you'll find it on my website, consumerman.com.
Okay.
Internet no longer is nice to have. Internet now is must have, as we learned in the pandemic for every single reason. So Congress gave the Federal Communications Commission $3.2 billion to start the Emergency Broadband Benefit Program, and it's going to provide financial assistance to families who need help paying for internet access or even buying a computer. Basically, there are three separate things that's going to happen if you qualify. You can get a discount of up to $50 a month on your broadband service or up to $75 a month on qualifying tribal land, or you can get up to $100 towards the purchase of a laptop, a tablet, or a desktop computer. Again, this is $3.2 billion. It's up for grabs. There are a lot of qualifications for households, but it's basically lower-income families, those who are on the school lunch program, somebody who received a Pell Grant, if you lost your job during the pandemic. All that spelled out in my article and all the guidelines and what you have to do. But there's no end to this, per se. It's going to run out when the money runs out, but the longer you wait, the less likely you are to get the money, because if you qualify, you could get that $50 a month for many months and help things going. So if you think that you might qualify for this, you will need to buy a computer, maybe for you or the kids, or you want to get better internet service or internet service, and you know you're somewhere in the lower income bracket, 135% of the federal poverty guideline, you're on the SNAP program, Medicaid, the FCC's Lifeline program, somebody in the family gets the free or reduced lunch or breakfast program for your school, Pell Grant in the family the last year or so, just go to my website, consumerman.com, look for this story with the FCC on it, and you can find out if you qualify, and it'll give you all the links as to if you qualify, how it'll apply. It's fairly easy, but they've got this money, and they want to give it out, and some, John, and the FCC would like to have this a permanent program, and some members of Congress are already talking about that. We got a long way to go till that happens, but at least there's this $3.2 billion, which is a lot of money to get some people back connected to the internet, because if you're not connected, you are not connected.
And I think that became unbelievably clear over the past year when schools required students to be online to take the classes. And that was for literally everybody. And if you didn't have access, you know, you're behind the curve and playing with a disadvantage. I mean, this could really be, hopefully, a thing that levels the playing field for everyone, because you'll have the same access as the wealthiest person in name your wealthy suburb. You know, it's the same internet. It's not a different internet for different people. And if you can get the same broadband and the same speed as somebody else, you're right in there. I mean,
yeah. And you've heard the stories. I mean, there were reports during the height of the pandemic when there were parents sitting in cars outside like a Starbucks.
Yes. Yeah.
To get the free This is America 2021. Come on. Seriously?
Yeah.
You know, we can't compete unless we have the technology. And that's what Congress, believe it or not, Congress was trying to do when they passed this thing the end of last year. So I got to give them credit for that.
Well, I think it has benefits that people haven't even perhaps thought about, or maybe they did. I mean, we're talking doctor's visits. We're talking purchase medicine. Just everything in the world, basically, you have access to. And I used to get so crazed about not having access to high-speed internet, even though I could afford it and all of that. I tried everything. I tried satellites. I had a satellite out on the farm, aimed at the sky and all of that, and it was pretty cool that it was, you know, a satellite. Woo! But the speed was horrible. I mean, not horrible, but nothing compared to broadband. And, man, we moved, and it's just like you've got some sort of new key to the universe right in your home. That's amazing.
And you mentioned school and the jobs, the work, but the one you just touched on, which is one of the keys, is medical. You know, seniors, a lot of them can't get out of the house or don't.
Right.
It's not easy. Telemedicine, which people weren't sure about, that's the one thing that was proven during the pandemic. Telemedicine works. And I had some telemedicine checks with my doctor. It was phenomenal.
Sure.
I schlep all the way downtown Seattle, try to, you know, and put the mask on and risk for a little med check or whatever.
Exactly.
And they have been able to give better medical care to seniors or lower income folks just by, if they're connected, by doing it this way. And that's why it's so critical, because it really is a matter of life and death now in this country.
Herb, thank you so much for being with us. I love your stuff, and I hope to talk
Always
to you again
pleasure,
soon.
John.
All right.
You got it.